Welcome back to Talking Backwards. I am Dave Jackson, joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And Tyler Mullins.
What?
Talking Backwards is a podcast where we watch every episode of Twin Peaks. I have seen Twin Peaks, Patrick still sees Twin Peaks, and Tyler is seeing Twin Peaks for the first time.
What?
We're talking about the episode Masked Ball.
AKA Season 2, Episode 11,
I thought 19th, it was balls.
19th overall, Episode 18.
Balls!
This was written by Barry Pullman, and it was directed by Dwayne Dunham.
Didn't he write Hatchet?
Barry Pullman?
It was Gary Paulsen.
This was directed by Dwayne Dunham. Who's edited most of these episodes, if not all. I don't know if that's 100% accurate. I know we've talked about him before, because he edited Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mr. Dunham?
Yeah, because David Lynch was George Lucas's first choice to direct
that
movie.
Would have been insane.
No. That would have been a different experience.
It would have been a completely different movie. So a good crew here, I would say, for Masked Ball. Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing about this episode, as far as production and cast and whatnot, this is the first TV series ever for David Duchovny.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first.
Who makes surprising entrance.
Yeah, his very first role. I'm ready to dive in. Let's
get into it.
Let's do it.
First, I'm going to do a little bit of house cleaning. So last episode, we neglected to mention that Dick Tremaine had enrolled in a Big Brothers program where he would be assigned a child to take around and show a good time.
So
he wanted to not have a baby.
Yes, he did not want any hand in this. But now, like, why is he all on board with it all of a sudden?
It has to just go in hand with whatever it was that made him decide to stop smoking and
we figured that
program. I think maybe it was just some soul searching came up with.
I think he had an out of body experience.
I think he has ulterior motives.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
But I don't know what they could possibly be.
Maybe he loves Lucy.
Okay. No, that's not it.
No?
No.
Then I don't know.
I don't know if it's like a competition thing. Like now that Andy's in, it's like I have to assert my dominance over you.
That's the most likely scenario, is that now that he has a competitor.
Yeah.
It's just two gorillas showing their teeth at each other. Only the teeth are morals and manly behavior.
Okay.
So the show opens with a shot of James on his hog.
Yeah.
And
for a while. This is one of those Lynch uncomfortable long shots.
Well, that might be true, actually, because I was reading, couldn't find exact confirmation, but and I need to actually like really pay close attention to the scene, but apparently that was maybe some unused footage from the pilot.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that that's just B-roll they got day one.
Yeah.
While he's writing, there's a couple times where he kind of gets this look on his face like he just smells something. Just going,
Scorched engine oil. A bug.
Scorched engine oil.
Swallowed a pretty big June bug on the way in.
Frog moth.
Hog swallop.
Hog swallop.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, he's just riding around and he pulls up to Hideout Wally's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I feel like it should be called Wally's Hideout.
So
let's dissect this.
Yeah, so quick story. Back when Home Alone 2 was in theaters, I think it was Wendy's was doing a promotion, doing like kids' meals with the things in them.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little display that had
James.
It was like the storefront for Duncan's Toy Chest. It was like the background for a little playset thing, like you connected things or whatever. But it read left to right, toy Duncan's chest. Duncan's really big in the middle, and the smaller words on the side were to be read separately.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case with Hideout Wally's, and it's supposed to be Wally's Hideout, the smaller text Hideout should not be above the giant Wally's.
No, agreed.
It's not Wally's Hideout bottom to top.
Yeah.
Unless it was Hideout something before, and then Wally's took over and just pasted a big Wally's over whatever was underneath it.
Hideout!
Could see that.
Wally's. Maybe there's a comma we're missing.
Hideout, comma, Wally's.
The fandom calls it Wally's Hideout.
What the fuck? Mm. What does that mean?
Another backwards.
What does this mean?
This changes everything.
It does. Everything I thought I knew about Twin Peaks, down the drain.
But we leave James there for now.
Actually, let's I don't even think he pulls up there at the beginning. I think
he's no, just he does not.
Yeah. He's just riding. Yeah. He's just riding. Yeah.
I jumped ahead.
So our shot after James on the bike is it's at the sheriff's station, and Betty Briggs has come in since Garland disappeared at the end of last episode. They're kind of asking her about the work he used to do.
Yeah,
but she doesn't give much up.
But he's still doing right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and she basically asked. Something about being in the woods was, you know, she asked if he was in the woods.
Well, they mentioned him being in the woods, and she said that that was significant.
Right.
And then asked
it if... It means something.
Yeah, asked if he but suddenly what? Disappeared. They're like, yeah. It's like, well, he does this.
Like, yeah. Like, he's done this
that's
many
just
times.
That's Garland.
Classic Garland.
Disappearing all the time.
But I don't think he typically disappeared in a flash of white light. So...
The White Lodge.
Sure.
When Gordon Cole comes on over the phone, we have a temp answering the phones now. Lucy's helping with the Milton wedding.
Never get a name.
Then we don't get a name. Yeah. But Lucy's off at the Great Northern helping with Dougie Milton's wedding.
Do we even see her there?
No.
Milford.
Milford, sorry. Did I say Milton?
Yep.
Milford.
Yeah, I don't even know if we see her later.
No.
She's just MIA.
I don't remember seeing her. It's a rare instance where we have a bunch of Andy and no Lucy.
Is she at the wedding? She's not even at the wedding.
I don't even remember seeing her. Yeah.
Don't even see her there.
Another mystery.
Wow.
When Gordon Cole gets transferred in, he's speaking much louder than usual. Like, this is loud for Cole.
Is it?
I don't know.
He is screaming.
I don't think it was any different. Maybe the intercom was just loud.
Let
a smile be your umbrella.
That whole exchange is hilarious.
Yeah, tell me if he's not... exceptionally loud.
Don't let them rattle you, Coop. These guys make a living looking through other people's drawers. We've all had our socks tossed around from time to time.
I know I have.
Couple of words of advice. Let a smile be your umbrella.
What does that mean?
There's a man and a smiling umbrella.
Is it like a death bag?
No, it's an umbrella.
But is it like a death bag? A smiling death bag?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we get our first mention of another new character, Dennis Bryson.
Yep.
He's DEA agent coming in to investigate.
DEA agent.
I got a little hung up.
That works.
I can't wait to meet him.
Can't wait to meet him. There's a panel. There's a panel for Coop, basically saying...
Yeah, Roger and two other gentlemen.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the other two guys' names, but do we have their names? Are they just bodies?
They're just... Roger's
they
boys.
They don't talk, do they?
Mm-mm. They don't say anything. I mean, Cooper just says that he doesn't have a defense. He's
expanding his mind.
Yeah.
He's opening his third eye.
Yeah, he didn't do any wrongdoing. He thinks.
He's more interested in, you know, the way the wind blows through the trees, man.
As am I. The way the wind blows.
Yeah. Roger doesn't like this very much.
Thinks he has no spine because he doesn't want to defend himself, but he's just like, there's no defense. I didn't do anything wrong. Which I think is plenty of spine.
Stuffing his spine full of feathers, or stuffing feathers where his spine used to be.
Hacking feathers where his spine used to be.
Yeah.
But he recommends that he gets a full psychological workup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Roger.
From Dr. Jacoby?
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm here for a workup.
Full psychological or just...
Or just a run-of-the-mill workup.
Just no, a basic workup or full psychological?
No, Tyler, the mill burned down.
Mill fire?
Mill Ford.
Now, as Coop stands up to leave, he lingers on his badge on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
He misses.
Is a different gun. And a holster he did not turn in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Way to go. Continuity expert.
They just reach into the prop gun case and it's like, oh, yeah, we're supposed
this
to
one looks one. Good.
When he stands up and looks down on the table, I like that I knew exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Like he's looking at his badge and then it's confirmed when it shows the shot.
I saw it at the beginning of the scene. Mm-hmm. So I knew.
You did because you said his stuff's still on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not far removed from when he actually turned it in, you have to assume.
Yeah. Other than the different gun.
Right.
And it now being holstered.
Yeah.
Back to the high school.
Tyler loves high school.
Twin Peaks High School.
So automatic half a forehead right here.
Automatic.
Dunk Jangle is back. I need y'all to confirm this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
Albeit briefly.
So this is the...
Let's explain to our listeners what Dunk Jangle is if they haven't picked up on it by now. It's something we've mentioned from time to time over the course of all these episodes. But in the pilot episode, Tyler gave the name to the guy who dances in the hallway of Twin Peaks High. He calls him Dunk Jangle. So when we mention Dunk Jangle, we're talking about the dancing guy at Twin Peaks High. Now, in the scene where Nadine's coming down from the stairs, Tyler thinks he spotted Mr. Jangle.
He's walking right in front of Nadine.
He's wearing a blue jacket.
Yes. So we have this.
Yep. He's got like he's got a woman on his arms, because of course he does. He's got great dance skills. Why wouldn't he have a woman on his arms at all times?
That's true. I'm surprised there's not three.
This is our suspect.
So you need to look at the hair around the ears, kind of just the whole head.
I've got it. I've seen the haircut.
Y'all see it?
We will post the shot on Instagram. You can look at it and tell us if we're crazy here or if this is correct. We have a second shot of Dunk here in the pilot. There are some striking similarities.
There are some striking similarities. Ooh,
this is a hard call.
Yep. Sounds like we're going to do a vote.
We can side by side these.
I 100% think that's the same person.
Now, facial recognition software has come a long way.
Yes, let's do the dots and the wireframe.
Yeah.
I'll try to make an After Effects video.
Please.
Now, enhance.
That's great. Great detective work.
If it's not him, then it's a relative.
So I'm 100% that this is the same person. If you disagree with me, fight me. At me, the Egg Deviler, Twitter, Instagram. Egg Deviler, out!
He just got on a skateboard and ollied out of the room.
Nadine is crushing on Mike Nelson's buns.
Yeah.
That is the point of this scene.
Okay, so I've got questions about how they're handling this.
Of course you do.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
this is ridiculous.
I feel like there's aspects of it that don't make any sense, and she's asking all the wrong questions Sure. Like, I feel like they're handling this as poorly as they handled the spirits.
They didn't handle that poorly at all.
Does that Exemplar need to get back in here?
Please. I will find him. I will find him on that.
You'll never find him. He's a legend now.
Well, I love, too, that she says that Ed stays home and is like her father. It's because he's old. Like, your age.
You are also old.
You are also old.
You have seen a mirror.
Question the fact that she looks old in a mirror.
Nope.
Or that
Norma and Ed look old.
Everyone she knows.
Yeah.
Is old.
Everyone she knows in high school is not at high school.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just something's up.
Have you seen James, Ed's friend with the bike?
Yep.
And that's her lead in to have a reason to talk to Donna, because she wants to ask her if she's still seeing Mike.
Yeah.
Which we can finally confirm.
Yeah.
She is not.
I'm not
seeing her. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, did they break up?
I mean, they kind of just quit it. They just... Yeah. Mike disappeared.
This weird.
I think Donna stopped. Him up. Donna stopped returning his calls.
Mm.
Oh yes,
she stopped writing back.
She stopped writing.
She
notes
didn't
back.
Text him back.
She didn't note him back.
Ooh. He sent notes, and those notes just stacked up until they got wet in the rain.
He finally got the picture, and he said, "Duly noted."
Mike walked by, saw the stack on the doorstep, and just rain started to pour, and it mixed with his little boy tears.
No, I think he started barking.
Donna.
So now James pulls into Wally's hideout, a.k.a. Hideout Wally's.
Hideout Wally's. gets a beer, no problem.
Yeah, well, can I get a beer?
Sure.
We know how beer works
in
Twin Peaks.
It's free for everybody. Town. What is it? Do we get a name of this place? It's clearly not Twin Peaks.
Hideout Wally's.
No, but like the name of the town he's in, where this place exists. Because she asks...
If he's
getting it, we're jumping ahead. She asks him where he's from.
You're not jumping that far ahead, are you?
No, it's.
I think it's in this scene.
Same scene.
We are introduced to Evelyn Marsh. All we know about her is she owns a sports car that sits outside of Hideout Wally's.
It's a vet.
It's a vet.
It is. 60s something.
It's about as good as another 60s-ish person that I know who's also a vet, Bob Lidecker. He's about my best friend in the whole wide world.
That's Bob.
Anyway.
Yeah, James sidles up to this bar as a high schooler and gets a beer, no problem. He is down counter, about a seat away from a young lady, but an adult lady.
Oh, adult yeah. lady. Adult.
A cougar?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, a cougar, for sure. Because she has her eyes set on James.
Need a cougar sound effect.
Yes.
Perfect.
So Evelyn Marsh is married. She drove her husband's car into a ditch. She's a married woman. She has a husband. She would like James to come and fix her husband's car before he gets home because she's married. James agrees to take a look, but first he would like to play the box.
Yeah.
So hasn't touched his drink. She slides him a quarter because she doesn't exactly punch a clock.
Yeah. I don't exactly punch a clock.
Or is it a quarter or is it a nickel?
It's a coin. So he...
off screen, he said, can I have a nickel?
Got a nickel? He goes over to the jukebox and plays the Castlevania soundtrack and really connects with it.
Melancholy rock music.
Yep. It is quite a song.
Rests his head against the humming neon.
He's
and just
super chummy and happy at the bar talking to this lady. And then he gets over to the box and plays his music. He's like super depressed.
It's similar to what happens to Audrey when she hears song on the jukebox. Yeah, yeah, it's like it puts you in a
different
headspace.
Goes somewhere.
Yeah.
Just really sinks in, takes it in.
Yeah.
So Dick Tremaine comes in with his little buddy looking for Lucy.
Little Nicky
at the sheriff station where Andy is manning the phones because Lucy is still helping with the Milford wedding. Little dude wants to go for a malted.
Yeah.
But without
Lucy. Does anybody
Lucy
like malted?
I love a malted.
Patrick?
Please.
Do you like malted milkshake?
I thought you were offering me one.
So I guess so.
Please.
Oh, hell yeah.
With Lucy out, Andy is still going to try to flex a little bit on Dick, and he agrees to take the two out for a malted as his lunch hour is coming up.
Yeah, Dick's not too happy about this.
He's none too pleased.
Is that like Andy playing this game?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. He might just want a malted.
That would be half of his motivation, I think.
Yeah.
But the other half is like, I'm going to infiltrate what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So Hawk has some stuff to say about the White Lodge to Cooper when he asks him about it at the sheriff's station.
I love this scene with all of my heart.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Yeah, so Cooper asks Harry and Hawk if they've heard of the White Lodge. And immediately Hawk's kind of taken aback, like, where did you hear this?
What did you say?
Yeah. Where have you heard that?
Yeah, there's going to
be a White Lodge.
There are two lodges. There's a White Lodge and a Black Lodge. Another double.
The shadow self of the White Lodge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where if you don't go in there with perfect courage, your soul will be utterly annihilated.
Which sounds horrible. Yeah.
Sounds very horrible.
I don't want any part of that.
He says when you meet your own shadow self, his people call it the Dweller on the Threshold.
Dweller on the Threshold.
Roadhouse. But yeah, he just basically says that they are other worlds, worlds beyond life and death, worlds beyond scientific reality. This is the kind of shit that makes you think.
So does Hawk just like understands
everything? Yeah, he's just in touch.
It's a very old tale.
Yeah.
And
doesn't Harry say something like that? He says it's been, does he say it's an urban legend or
urban legend.
It's been around.
I didn't think he said
something like that, but he says
local legend.
Local legend.
Yeah, it's definitely not an urban area.
Local legend.
Rural legend.
It's a tall tale.
But this just kind of opens up, I feel like, a world of possibilities here.
It's pretty much them saying, like, there's a whole bunch of spirit stuff left, and it comes from this.
Tyler?
What?
What do you think?
Nothing.
No. I didn't know if you had any questions or thoughts on it.
No.
Tyler, did you know that David Duchovny was in this show?
Yeah. Found out in the credits.
Got excited?
I did. I love David Duchovny.
Did you know that he was playing Denise Bryson?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not. I thought he was going to play a Dennis Bryson. And then, you know, what can only be his sister walks in. Just kidding.
Man, yeah, he's so great in this.
Yeah, Dennis now identifies as Denise, wears women's clothes, has either a wig or has really committed to growing his hair out and having it styled. Lipstick, makeup, the whole nine.
Yeah,
the whole nine.
Yeah. He is identifying as a woman now, and he is Denise.
Yeah.
She
is Denise.
Get those pronouns in check.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I feel like, too, I heard the network had a hard time with this, because I mean,
I'm sure.
Imagine in the early 90s, this was not something.
No, it's not okay, but.
Yeah. Nobody was woke.
RuPaul wasn't even on the scene yet. I mean, soon, but not quite. Yeah.
He was just a gaffer on the show.
Yeah.
Best boy grip, RuPaul.
Part of me hopes that Kyle MacLachlan is really as accepting as Dale Cooper is.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, just because. Yeah. The way that's always handled in shows, and it's just really nice that people are accepting in the show. And
yeah,
get on a soapbox. Everyone should just always be like that, regardless.
Absolutely. Sure.
So it's just nice to see in a show from the early 90s.
Yep.
Little disappointing that the only one who isn't fully accepting is Hawk.
I had that thought too, especially when he was so quick to Gwen, you know, with like... Mm-hmm. The stuff a few episodes ago. Maybe he was just taken aback.
Sure.
I don't know. But,
I'm sure it's surprising. 100%. Yeah. I don't think he. Because there's any kind of hate there.
Right. Anything. And then he cracks a light joke when she left.
It's a good color on him.
Good color on him.
Yeah. It may be more just fascination.
But if there was one of, you know, if there was going to be a person.
But to not shake
it,
hands.
It would be.
Come on.
It would be hot.
Just regular nicety. If somebody offers their hand, like, you give
I
it a
I think he was just more stunned.
She's like, to Harry.
Yeah.
I love. I
definitely giving him eyes.
Love that.
I need more of that.
Yeah.
Pull up that thread.
Right.
Come on, show.
Even for Denise, it's been a very confusing 2 weeks when they decided to go that route.
Well, it's been a rough 2 weeks for all these people too.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, let's go back to high school. And let's go to the gym.
Go steeplejacks.
Mike is pumping iron.
Donna!
Donna's not here.
No, but that's Mike.
Nadine decides she's going to show out and try to catch Mike's attention.
Yeah, like this is going to impress him. And not emasculate him.
I'll tell you who it does impress. Coach Wingate.
Mm-hmm.
You want to join the wrestling team?
Yeah.
Now she sits down, sets the leg press machine to 600 pounds, and proceeds to go ham and just stare at Mike while she's pumping.
With one eye.
Yep. She's got her eye on him.
Like, where's your other eye?
Do you want something?
That's funny, because that reference is to Friends when Audrey is on it. With the one leg.
Yes.
And Chandler says, you know, where's your leg?
It's nubbin'. Nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's that whole scene.
That's that scene.
Nadine flexing on Mike and then getting offered a position on the wrestling team.
And let's move on to a scene I don't give a shit about.
Yeah, same. Let's get this out of the way. Josie is in bed. Truman comes, I guess, home to her.
I don't think he takes his shoes off.
He doesn't take his shoes off like an animal.
Yeah.
Before he gets in the bed in the weirdest way and kind of circles his legs around her.
Yeah, he straddles her.
Like he's going to leg lock her and not let her go anywhere.
You're not getting away this time.
Pets her really weirdly and it's just really uncomfortable, but he wants her to tell him everything so that they can be honest with each other.
He wants to know about cousin Jonathan Lee.
Yep.
But then I just assume she's lying again.
Some of that, yes. I think there's obviously truth to a lot of it. But yes, there's still lies in the story. Because I think the stuff she's saying about Thomas Eckert, her former boss, I think all of that is 100% true. And obviously her getting away from Jonathan Lee...
Mm-hmm.
We know is true. She's back. So I think all of that's true.
Just so I make sure I have it completely straight.
I don't have it completely straight, but go ahead.
But if this makes sense. So Thomas Eckert was her boss in Hong Kong.
Yep.
Andrew Packard worked for him when Josie met him. Thomas Eckert was like her owner, like Josie's owner. He had like put her to work and like enslaved her. And all this stuff. And then she married Andrew Packard, who worked for Eckert.
Yeah, were they business partners or were they just...
Business partner.
Okay.
Business partner, she said. And so Eckert had him killed over Josie or over something else?
I would think that over Josie was my assumption, yes.
Yeah. But that's the story as I know it with her involvement there.
So Roger is at the Double R Diner. He's reading a paper that says...
Leland Palmer laid to rest.
Thank you, Tyler.
Is he also at the Double R? Are Andy, Little Nicky, and Dick sitting at the counter?
Yep. This is where Hank and the professor walk in.
Yeah, Hank and Ernie do come in. And
Hank and Professor Niles.
This is why Hank was dressed in full fatigues, because they were supposed to be on a hunting trip.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
Not really.
She goes over to Ernie to see if he bagged anything.
Bagged a couple broads. Yeah,
did you catch anything? And he immediately says, hope not. And then he quickly realizes his mistake of what he said.
Like, oh, you're not talking about chlamydia. You're talking about hunting game.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, 12-point buck.
Yeah, and she could...
It was great.
Careless, as could I.
Too bad you didn't have your camera.
Yeah.
She's not buying it.
Yeah, she tells him that...
MT Who
left to Seattle, and that he should probably just follow her back there.
Yep.
He tells Hank
she's
left, and Hank just sort of does his convincing. He's like, oh, that's better for us. We can get our work done.
Yeah.
Clock's ticking. Go get on those phones. We got work to do. Have a hamburger.
Yeah, so Dick and Andy both get a 3-berry pie, and Little Nicky gets his chocolate malted.
And it should be mentioned that the soup of the day is French onion.
French onion. Mm. Little Nicky is a nightmare child.
Did he inspire the plot of the movie?
Yes.
Little Nicky?
He did, 100%. Problem child? He is a demon.
Yeah. Blows whipped cream all over Dick.
Yep. That makes Andy spin out of his chair.
Unrealistic.
This is not how physics work. So if you stand up out of your...
You don't know how physics work in Twin Peaks.
You're right. Never mind. Argument redacted. But Andy goes funny boom boom onto the floor.
Sure does.
Little Nicky spins his seat. He sits down and he is launched.
Gosh darn it anyway.
Little Nicky actually seems a little embarrassed for hurting Andy.
Well, he should. He's got whipped cream on his face.
Tyler, you want to explain this next scene?
No.
Please. Mm. For me?
We are at... a house.
Evelyn Marsh's house.
We'll call it the Marshland.
Marshmallow Land.
And funny note, a mess up here. This Marshmallow Land was actually on fire the scene before, and when it went back to it, it was not.
Is this connected to Garland Briggs in some way?
I think so.
I'll take it.
James is working on the
gives it
car.
Some kind of meaning.
Yeah, there you go. James is working on the car, and then he has some typical James monologues that make no sense.
Yep.
Okay, so two observations I had about James in this scene. He's got his mechanic sweater on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he also volunteers some information that shows that he is wildly irresponsible. It's like,
yeah.
Sometimes when I'm on my bike, I'll just... It'll be in the middle of the night. I'll just turn off the headlights and rocket blind into the night.
What?
That is wildly irresponsible. You are going to kill somebody.
Why?
Also, don't confess that.
No.
Idiot. Stupid
so
idiot.
So irresponsible, James Hurley.
Idiot. Idiot. Idiot.
James needs to go back to school.
Yes. Go to class. Don't accept this woman's offer to live above her house.
Yeah, don't drive to another town.
Why?
High school dropout.
He caused the death of Leland, Laura, and Maddie. The love that he and Donna shared killed 3 people.
He's responsible for tearing the town apart.
But don't worry, he'll be back. Oh, that's the tagline for the movie.
I don't know why he's not going off to pursue a career in music.
I just don't know why he's still on the show.
Yeah, why this is happening exactly is
beyond me.
Fascinating.
I think this is the most interested I've been in James is this storyline.
Yeah, he's wearing his like dinner sweater from when he's having lasagna at the Haywards. Not acting like he's about to fix a car.
Yep. Well, he really got James. Caught with his pants down, I guess.
Come on, James.
Is this what he was wearing at the bar, though? I feel like he changed into his mechanic sweater. Okay.
I think it was. Patrick, you want to explain this next scene?
I'd love to. Oh, nothing like some old home movies from your childhood.
Christmas is the time of year.
Yeah, it kind of it gave me a very Christmas Vacation vibe where Clark Griswold was watching the old movies in the attic.
Yep.
Fun connection there with Christmas Vacation and Twin Peaks. Both movies were scored by Angelo Badalamenti.
Really?
Yep. So there's a connection. Thank you, Dave, for bringing that up. Yeah, I actually really, really like this scene.
It is kind of cool.
Seeing Ben in this happy place, watching these home movies.
Well, I don't know that he's in a happy place.
Well, that's
place.
True, but he seems it's distracting him enough from the troubles of his life.
And I can feel his energy here, just like wishing for simpler times, and it's nice to revisit how easy things used to be versus adult complications.
I also think this is more great acting from Richard Boehmer in this scene and in the scene with Hank. Mm-hmm. After Hank leaves and he's doing the hand puppets. I just love that. Yeah. Like in there, it's just, he's so mad and then he goes to doing that.
He's trying to be a kid again.
He's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, he's definitely lost his
fully
mind.
In.
He's a mess.
He's definitely lost his mind.
He's a mess. But yeah, Hank shows up. Where the hell have you been?
Yeah, really rips him out of this private moment.
Yeah. Hank gives him some more devastating news.
Yep.
He is no longer the owner of One Eye Jacks. There's been a friendly takeover.
He knows it's Renault.
He knows it's Renault. He
knows it's Jean Renault.
You always know a Renault.
If you don't know
Renault, you know
Renault. Without One Eye Jacks, Ben Horn doesn't have half of his income.
It's kind of the first time, too, I feel like you start to feel sort of bad for him that everything's falling apart.
No. Not one bit.
Just you.
And I.
Oh, boy. Coop gets a tape from one Wyndham Earl in the mail.
It's the first time we've heard Wyndham Earl speak.
Yes.
Is this a voice I should know?
Nope.
Nope.
This is the first we've heard from Wyndham Earl.
We've heard the character name dropped several times, but this is the first time we've actually heard him talk.
That's what I missed about the last episode's cleanup, was when Cooper is talking to Audrey, he goes into depth about a past love that he lost while he was working with his old partner, Wyndham Earl. Mm-hmm. That they died because Cooper was not ready to act when they were threatened.
Yeah.
And Wyndham Earl also loved her. So they both lost a woman they love. Cooper didn't make a real connection with anybody after that. And Wyndham Earl lost his mind. Really just glossed over that last episode.
So yeah, he gets in the mail this tape.
Just full of threats.
Yeah. And he also
very
gets
chess related threats.
Chess move. And there was also a chess.
What is the chess move? Pro Q4?
I don't know anything about chess, so.
I don't think there's a Q on the board.
I think it's Queen 4.
Queen 4. Like, so what's pro?
Queen's line 4. I think
There's also a reference when he's talking to, I think it's earlier in this episode or the last episode when he's talking to Roger in the conference room, he makes a reference to a board, like a chess board. Mm-hmm. It's just another chess reference just in general to what's going on now with the Wyndham storyline.
Yeah.
Because you know several episodes ago when he got the thing in the mail, they were like, it's a chess move.
Are you looking up pro?
Yes. Are you looking for secrets? It appears to be just a notation for a type of chess game.
So he's letting him know which game they're playing?
It's just a way to notate what the move is, but I don't know what the move was.
Okay.
That's for greater minds than I.
If you know, please tell us.
Yeah, let us know. We don't know.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, now you know.
I would love to know.
Again, we're just three guys watching a show and talking about it.
Having a good time.
Now let's move on to a scene which should have probably been in the last episode, given the title.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
No more disputes between brothers.
Yeah.
We are at the wedding of Dougie.
Milford.
To unnamed young lady.
Unnamed young lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, usually when it's asked if anybody has anything to say, they speak now or forever hold their peace.
Yes. And real quick on that, the guy who's marrying them.
Same guy from the funeral in season one.
Yep.
Yeah. I knew he
looked
familiar.
Same guy, yep.
And they are the Lord's, and the Lord has them, and will continue to have them.
Over and over. Amen. And the Lord's.
And the Lord's also too.
Great.
So yeah,
that guy's back. Don't know if he has a character name.
Sorry.
Dwayne speaks now.
Yeah, he calls her a gold digger. Only wants his money.
And his publishing
empire. Oh, yeah, and his empire. Publishing empire.
And look at him. He's one foot in the grave. Married every 2 months.
Good God. I feel...
Although he's just ranting as he's being let out. Truman kind of takes him by the arm and leads him out of the room, and he's just still going on and on. Reception! It's party time.
Party Central at the Great Northern.
Log Lady's loving it.
She loves every Milford wedding.
There's one every year. Yep.
Pete is completely over talking to Mayor Milford.
There is... Okay, so there's a moment. Milford says something about his brother being a trout on a hook. Mm-hmm. And it cuts to Pete's face, and it's like something just stabs him inside. It just like blows his mind about that phrase. It's like he's reflecting on himself since he hears that. Because every shot of Pete after that is one of just, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah, he's like rolling his eyes.
I mean, otherwise, it seems like everybody's having a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Coop and Denise catch up at the at the bar.
Yeah.
We get some backstory on. I guess
Denise bought the, or caught the bouquet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had the advantage of being a linebacker.
Yeah.
The more I'm learning about Denise, the more I like.
Oh, it's a great character.
Yeah. I love, too, when they're dancing. It's around this time when Dougie Milford's dancing with his new bride, and she talks to Cooper. She's like, oh, you're the guy that solved that.
You're the FBI guy.
Solved that Laura Palmer case.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, where's she from?
Not Twin Peaks.
Yeah. No,
she's probably from One Peak.
Tyler, real quick, before all that, there was a real quick scene where Cooper was up in his room talking to Diane.
Who the hell is Diane?
Well, I think there's a pretty good explanation for that.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear it.
So Denise tells him to go downstairs. He goes and meets up with Denise.
While Cooper is talking to Denise, we get the backstory on how he found that he enjoyed wearing women's clothes. He was working a case.
Oh yeah.
Where a buyer would only sell, or where a seller would only sell to transvestite buyers. Mm-hmm. So he posed as the buyer and discovered that the feeling relaxed him and just stuck with it.
That was a great
how he found herself. Now they're dancing. Now everybody's dancing.
This is one of those scenes where all this stuff is just crammed together and one by one by one. It's kind of easy to forget what happens because you're just cutting around from person to person to person. It is very similar to the wake. Let's talk about who's dancing with who real quick.
Dougie is dancing with his...
Or his bride.
Audrey and Coop are dancing.
Yeah.
Nice to see them back together.
After one episode.
Yeah. See if those crazy kids can work it out.
I've missed them.
She's like, why are you still here?
The wonderful thing about dancing, Audrey, is that you never know where the step to lead. Have to hang on and hope the music takes you there.
That's it.
Harry loves it.
Harry's loving it. Harry doesn't have anybody to dance with because Josie's still being useless in bed.
Dance with me.
But that brings us into our next scene.
Yes, it does.
But before that,
Josie is otherwise occupied.
Andy is dancing with Denise.
And he's not upset about it.
No, he loves it.
He loves it.
He's having a great time.
He's like, this is actually really nice.
I was actually waiting for it to pan over to Lucy standing in the background just scowling. But no, she doesn't ever show up.
That would have been very funny.
She doesn't ever show up.
She must have been off this week.
So Harry's watching Cooper and Audrey dance, smiling like, haha, I don't have anyone to dance with.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're about to find out why.
Yeah.
Just going to keep dancing with this whiskey.
Josie is busy talking to
Back
Catherine.
To her devious ways.
This is the first time they've been reunited.
Yeah, real quick.
Catherine died.
How do we not touch on the plot to kill Catherine in this scene?
Right.
I know that it ends with Catherine indenturing Josie into servitude before otherwise she will serve her to Thomas Eckert. But yeah, Josie and Catherine are talking as though nothing happened, really. Like, this is no surprise that, one, Catherine is alive, and that, two, Josie is still present when she was supposed to have disappeared, too. They're just...
Yeah.
Like, so what's been
up?
Two
lost souls.
Yeah.
Rekindled.
It upset me that those things weren't touched on in the scene.
Did she not imply it at all with, because she talks about how she helped kill Andrew Packard.
She just said, tell me something I don't know.
Right. And she just says she's in danger.
So,
but she, oh yeah, she says you helped kill my brother.
You tried to cheat me out of my land and out of my...
You dirty rat. You killed my brother.
Exactly that. Yeah, I don't know. Unless... does she think that's Ben Horn? Because Ben was working with Leo.
I think her beef with Ben is a different thing.
I mean, was Ben not working with Leo to do the mill fire?
It's a web of confusion.
You know what? We're past it.
Web of confusion. Listeners, please send us a diagram of who was working with who.
I think that's it. I don't think she thinks Josie killed her or tried to kill her.
Right.
I think Catherine knows Ben had a hand in it. But either way, she's still mad at her because now she knows everything.
Yeah, but also Josie's not surprised that Catherine's alive.
Yeah, we totally missed, I would have loved to have seen...
You and these reactions.
I would have loved to have seen a scene.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I know.
Like, not missing only scenes. Does Josie know where to find Catherine...
We'll call them missing pieces.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A scene where she walks in the room and is like, my God.
She not only knows where to find Catherine, but knows that she is there to be found.
I would have loved to have seen a Tojimura Josie.
I want that reaction.
I want a Tojimura action figure.
I want Tojimura to walk by a mirror and it be Kathy's reflection.
So Catherine is a spirit like Bob.
Like Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yes.
Catherine's a spirit like Bob. Tojimura looks into the mirror, sees Catherine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tyler's on board.
You can always tell a person is a complete piece of trash if they have dry toast for breakfast.
Yeah, she now says that Josie has to work for her to be her servant. And she wants breakfast at 7 a.m., coffee, juice, dry toast, oatmeal.
Yeah.
What?
Boring. Sweet dreams. And anyway, out walks...
A man that I guess I'm supposed to know.
Yep. She says, "Happy Andrew. Everything is going exactly as we planned."
It's Andrew Packard.
Bum, bum, bum.
This seems like one of those things.
He's not dead.
That is just like shoehorned in.
Yeah, totally.
For ratings.
Well, they weren't getting ratings at this point.
That's why they did this.
Ratings dropped.
That's what I'm saying.
As soon as the killer was revealed. Ratings were like throwing in a twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She says that, or he says that they're going to wait for Thomas Eckert to come looking for his one true love. And when he does, they'll be waiting for him. That's how the episode ends.
Yep. It's all a trap to get Eckert.
Yeah. A little quick fun fact about the guy who plays Andrew.
He's British.
Eckert. I'm trying to get the.
And yeah. Catherine is not.
A fun fact about him, his son is the one that plays the Mountie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even though they're not connected in the show, that's his son in real life.
Cry, cry.
A lot of nepotism in Twin Peaks.
Little nepotiz.
Now you must hire my
father. Yo-Yo Ma's cousin.
Yeah. Now you must hire my father to be in the show in the next episode.
Yeah.
Please. So that is Masked Ball.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like this show more and more. Not that I ever disliked it.
Right.
But you're enjoying it.
Yeah. You know, I was really worried that there'd be just, I don't know.
I mean, we're still not. We still have ways to go in season two. And like I said, I've always felt that season two kind of gets a little bit of a bad rap. But there are peaks and valleys.
Yeah, for sure.
My favorite stuff about it is just Hawk introducing these lodges. I don't know what it means, but boy, am I intrigued by the thought of them.
Yeah, the lodges and the events they're in are my favorite part of the series as a whole. So I'm excited to get to all of that. Outside of that, there are a couple of plot arcs here that I just don't care about.
Like?
And a few that I'm very interested in.
Evelyn Marsh.
I don't care about Evelyn Marsh, and I don't care about anything having to do with Josie. Outside of that, yeah, let's see. Nadine and Mike hook up.
So that's interesting. Most of the people that I feel like, I mean, and I could be wrong, but I feel like anytime I read gripes about season two, the big gripes come from Evelyn Marsh and Nadine. A lot of people dislike the Nadine subplot.
See, I love it.
That's good.
I love the Nadine subplot. There's something so
I think it's just more proof that everyone is just so different and people just, you know, you may like one thing and not like the other.
I like the way that the Nadine stuff is being divvied out. It's just in small doses and it's not shoved in your face. So it's not being forced on me at all, and it's just pretty organically happening, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get there.
Let's talk about our damn fine lines of the night.
Well, sure.
I'll start with mine. It's kind of lengthy, but it's Hawk talking about the lodges, if you couldn't have guessed, for my enthusiasm about this topic.
My people believe that the White Lodge is a place where the spirits that rule man and nature here reside.
Local legend goes way back.
There is also a legend of a place called the Black Lodge, the shadow self of the White Lodge. The legend says that every spirit must pass through there on the way to perfection. There, you will meet your own shadow self. My people call it the Dweller on the Threshold.
The Dweller on the Threshold.
But it is said, if you confront the Black Lodge with imperfect courage, it will utterly annihilate your soul.
So I realize that that's way more than a line.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many good little lines in it. I love the utterly annihilate your soul, mm-hmm. the Dweller on the Threshold.
It kind of sets up the end game.
Yeah,
like this is.
I've always read too. This is a very Mark Frost thing of this kind of stuff. He was always very hands on in. So thanks, Mark.
My damn fine line is from the Double R Diner, and it's actually from Dick Tremaine after Andy is pranked by Little Nicky.
Oh, gosh darn it! Anyway.
Sorry, Uncle Andy.
Think nothing of it, Little Nicky. Uncle Andy went funny boom boom, didn't he?
Funny boom boom, didn't he? No, that's a good one. That is a good one. Any guesses as to what mine is?
Is it Dwayne Milford speaking up at the wedding?
That is my honorable mention.
Ha ha! Tyler, why don't you hit us with your line?
I guess I'm not so interested in how my bike looks as I am where it can take me.
Where do you want to go?
It's not really a place, it's a feeling. Sometimes riding at night, I punch off the headlights and roll on the throttle and just rock it blind into the dark.
For a man who dogs on James Hurley so much, you have more lines of his as your line of the night.
I really do.
Man,
I punch off the headlights and roll on
when that guitar kicks in.
It does make it.
It's so good.
It does really sell it, yeah.
I do have an honorable mention is Mayor Milford.
You're damn right. I want to object. This little gold digger just wants his money and his publishing empire and God knows what all. And look at him. He's got one foot in the grave already.
Okay, Dwayne.
So good.
Oh, Mayor Milford. That was our damn fine lines of the night.
Damn fine.
So that was Masked Ball. It's really hard for me to put into words my overall feelings on a matter like this. Patrick, do you have any ideas of how we can really, really lay this out in a way that is comprehensible?
I do. You take
the good.
You take a picture.
The bad.
You take a picture of James Hurley from the pilot of Twin Peaks.
Okay, done.
Needs to be sort of looking towards the camera, maybe a little off to the side a little bit.
Three-quarter turn,
and yep. You need to stretch from directly above his eyebrows to his hairline. You need to stretch that. And
yeah, you're talking about the forehead.
Is that what they call it?
You're talking foreheads.
Talking foreheads.
I can't. I just can't.
James!
So, Patrick.
Sure.
Out of five James Hurley foreheads, what would you give Masked Ball?
I'm giving this one a four.
Just four.
Dave?
I like a lot of the plot points here. I'm excited to see everything going forward, and I like our setups. There are a little bit of deductions from the stuff I don't care about, but it is still a four for me.
Just four.
Wow. I thought y'all were going to be lower.
Thought so, too.
I thought so, too, but
I really did. I thought so now too. But something else came out of my mouth.
Now that some time has passed.
Yeah. We're going to regret these ratings later. People are going to be like, why are you rating these so high?
I'm a 4 too. I mean, this. Whoa. It's just been a blast. Like I said last week, it's like you're just, this is living in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Nothing super crazy other than the Cooper stuff. Four foreheads.
Just four talking foreheads.
We hope you'll join us next week for The Black Widow.
If you'd like to reach out to us about anything we might have missed or anything that you disagree with us on or do agree with us on, you can reach us at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter at talkingbackward.
Instagram is also talkingbackwardspod. We put up fun visuals and short video clips of our Talking Foreheads segment. They're lots of fun. Tyler.
Anchor.fm/talkingbackwards.
We'll see you next week.